Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, does the British media devote enough time for its Muslim community?
Academic studies have revealed that the British media has a limited coverage of Muslim stories. Reports also show that the coverage of British Muslims has increased significantly since 2000, peaking in 2006, and remaining at high levels in 2008 onwards. However, this rise is partly explained by the increase in coverage devoted to terrorism-related stories. Hence comes a conclusion in a 2011 survey showing that British Muslims are most likely to blame the media for Islamophobia in the UK. Other Muslims also point to the lack of social and cultural coverage of Muslims in the British media. This episode of Islam and Life evaluates the coverage of Muslim stories in the British media by asking, does the British media devote enough time for its Muslim community?
This is a question which is quite important for the last 10 years after September 11th in the United States of America and after 7/7/2005 in the UK. What we got is coverage about what is happening, the Muslims in the West, Muslims in Muslim majority countries, and very often connected to terrorism, connected to fear of the Muslim presence and the problems that the Muslims could have in Western societies. So the coverage is there. Still, the right question is, what about positive coverage? What about the positive image of Islam? While we have today in Europe, sometimes, like in France, 75% of the people saying that they have a negative image of Islam, connecting Islam to violence. So these are questions in which way this could be changed, and what is the state of affairs in the West today, in Britain in particular? Well, to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Anas Ittekriti, the chief executive of the Cordoba Foundation. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Let me come to this question. What we have seen, that's true that after 2001, the coverage and the media coverage about Islam, there is not one day without talking about Islam. But what the Muslims are saying, and not only the Muslims, all the people who are studying the situation, is it's quite negative. So what is the problem and what is the state of affairs now if you have to deal with the British society?
First and foremost, you have to realize that when we're talking about media coverage, we're talking about a triangular relationship. We're talking about the perpetrator of the coverage, i.e. the editors or the correspondents or the reporters and the photographers and the people who write the headlines. We're talking about the vehicles through which this is used, either it be the press or the TV or radio, and we're talking about the subject itself, i.e. the Muslims. So when we come to either assess whether it's a positive or negative mechanism, we have to look at all those three elements. Now, I would suggest that the very point of departure when it comes to covering Muslims in the UK today, and maybe even largely throughout Western Europe, we get off on the wrong foot, simply because today a Muslim... The image that conjures in one's mind, in the Western mind, as soon as the term Muslim is used, is one that is associated with issues, as the report said, terrorism, fear, violence, women being subjugated, children being beaten in domestic schools, sitting on the floor learning or being force-fed the Quran, and so on and so forth. These images automatically are attributed with the term Muslim. So from the point of departure, we have the fact that when we're talking about Muslim, it seems that we have to first of all try to overcome those layers in terms of the readership's mind.
The problem is that when you speak with journalists, what they are saying is that, yes, that's true that this is what we are covering, but at the end of the day, this is what we got or what we are getting from the Muslim communities, because they are not reaching out, they are not visible. So at the end of the day, what they are saying is that the Muslims get what they deserve, because this is what is happening with them. And at the, you know, we are talking about headlines. So how would you explain the situation? Because yes, we are not talking about positive stories, but is it not because the Muslims are not really visible in the mainstream society?
There is a point to that, but I also think that we have a problem with those who are sitting behind desks making decisions and writing up the news. And that is the issue of, I mean, before we used to talk about ignorance, and ignorance is still largely part of the problem. But also there is another element, and that is in today's world of media and journalism, laziness is a very, very big factor. Today's journalists find it sufficient to Google or to Wikipedia something or someone for them to feel that they have researched enough. It's not like the old days where people hit the streets and go and knock on doors and meet people face to face. So I think that laziness is also part of it. But also, yes, I agree with it. I mean, we do have a problem within the Muslim community is that, first of all, we don't appreciate the importance of the media enough to approach it in appropriate and adequate measures. We don't know how to. If we decide that, yes, it's important, we don't know how to and how to utilize the best of means and methods. We don't know how to present ourselves. We still lack in terms of our presentation skills, how we dress, the words we use, the terms that really hit a chord with the audience. So we still are lacking. But at the same time, I think that there is a very important thing that we have to talk about. And that is, whilst the media covers Muslims, as we said, in terms of the stories about terrorism and extremism and the such, I often find it quite puzzling why it is that the Muslim, the British Muslim, isn't seen also as being a British citizen. Meaning, when a Muslim appears on TV, you can bet 99.9% that he will be talking about extremism, radicalization, Palestine, or something of that nature. When you see a woman in hijab appearing on the screen, you can bet 100% she'll be talking about hijab, women's subjugation or freedom or the such, or maybe something pertaining to children. But you don't find a woman in hijab being asked about the state of economy, her take on British taxes. You know, a man in his beard and looking as a Muslim talking about issues that pertain to sports or art or culture. It's as though this British Muslim has nothing to do, has no concern whatsoever but Muslim issues. And that, I think, is a problem, the problem of being boxed in.
Yes, but this is a very important discussion because you are talking, in fact, at the essence of the problem, which is the substance of what is in the media today. So Muslims are Islam is very much talked about in the media. The problem is how and who is talking. And then the second point that you are making is that very often when we have Muslims appearing on TV or writing, it's very often connected. If you try, for example, it happened to you, it happened to me, to try to be... you are perceived as a Muslim intellectual, and the Muslim part of being an intellectual is much more interesting for the media here than the intellectual part. The problem is, who is responsible for that? Aren't we seeing within the community, in the Muslim community today, Muslims too much focusing on Islamic issues and not coming? You know, we talked about this in the United States of America with the Jewish community. Very often what we have is they are Americans because they speak about everything. They are not talking only about, you know, the state of Israel. When it comes to Muslims, very often we are reducing the scope of our discussion. So how can we change this?
Well, I think that it is a collective responsibility, and the Muslim community has to shoulder quite a hefty part of that responsibility. One thing that in my organization, the Cordoba Foundation, and other Muslim organizations, we go out and tell various grassroots organizations, first of all, you have to leave that state of victimhood. You have to stop thinking that everyone is after you. Because if you think that everything out there is a conspiracy, or that everyone is after you to give you a bad name, then there is no need to even leave your house in the morning. There's no need to even try. But I think that the very first thing is that we need to realize the part of the story that is being told, even if it's negative, part of it is true. And therefore the state of victimhood has to, I think, be departed, and we have to embark on a true reformation of our media message. What kind of image do I want for Islam and Muslims in the UK that is projected through the media today? I think that question is something that needs to be answered. Because sometimes when I say, well, I only want, you know, the reality to come out. Well, hang on, sometimes the reality isn't that nice. And we have to admit it. We do have our problems. We do have our problems in terms of how we handle the issue of women. We do have our problems largely in many, many mosques up and down the country. We do have a problem in the Islamic schools or the such. So we do have a problem. So let's talk about exactly what kind of image I need to be portrayed, and what kind of reformation has to accompany that so that the image is true and is real and is positive at the same time. The other thing, what is my role and what is my message for Britain, my country, my people? When we constantly talk down people's fears of extremism, I think we patronize people. Because whether we like it or not, whether true or false, when people say we're afraid, we're afraid of Islam, we're afraid of Muslims, you have to deal with it. You can't just say, no, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to brush it under the carpet. You neglect a very sizable portion of your audience whom you're trying to impart that positive image.
But just one thing, Anas, you have been working on many fields and at different levels for years now. Do you see things changing? Are you optimistic about the trends that you can see within the Muslim communities today?
There is change, but not at the rate that we need or the require. And once again, it's the youngsters who are emerging, who, I'll be honest, they are sort of free of the shackles of the older generation, possibly my generation, possibly my father's generation. But they are free of those shackles. They have no illusion about who they are. They don't have a problem with their identity. They don't have a problem understanding and appreciating to the full that they are part and parcel of this country and this society. Their future is its future. Any prosperity that comes to the country is their own prosperity, and any kind of harm that comes to it is also part of their harm. They have no illusions about that. And therefore, their message and their approach to the media is a constructive one. Also, they understand the media. They appreciate the media. I grew up from a generation until I was about 17, 18. Owning a TV whilst being single, you know, and unmarried was seen as a sort of a sin. It was frowned upon. Appearing on the media, even studying media. I tried to study media in my earlier days, and I was warned, no, it's a very bad, filthy area, don't go into it. Now we don't have those kinds of restraints. So the generation that is growing up, my children, for instance, they're growing up with no illusions about the importance of the media and the need to engage. And they also have a very, very clear message. Because, for instance, I may have this kind of split originality, whether I'm Arab or whether I'm Muslim or whether my allegiance is somewhere in Baghdad or whether it's here in London. You know, I may have somewhere in my subconscious that kind of problem. My child doesn't. My child doesn't. And therefore, the message that comes from those younger generations is a very clear, crystal clear message that resonates positively with those who are listening. And that, I think, is very important.
Yes, it's a very important point, and it's a question of time and generations. The other question, because when you are talking about, you know, who are the people involved in the whole process, you are talking about the means, about the journalists and the people who are listening and seeing, there is something which is not there in the whole picture, and this might be the fourth part of the whole thing, is the owners of the media, which is very important. Now, what we have, and when we listen to some of the leaders within the Muslim communities in the West, in Britain, is exactly the same. Their perception is, oh, we need our own means of communication. We need to separate ourselves. So what you are talking is that, no, we have to be in the mainstream and visible. What do you think about this approach, which is, at the end of the day, even with your kids, at the end of the day, they might feel that they are British, they are here, but the perception will still be, oh, they still are Muslim, British, and more Muslim than British in the perception. So what could be the alternative? Should we go for alternative means of communication, our own channels? It could be press TV or anything else, giving an other picture of the world, another vision, another viewpoint. What is your take on that?
I'm someone whom, in terms of politics and media and the such, I'm someone who says engage with the mainstream. Be always part of the mainstream. That doesn't mean that your collective community media isn't important. Of course it is. And every single community has its own, whether it be the Catholic Church, or whether it be the Protestants, or whether it be the Jews, or whether it be the Hindus. They have that, and there is no harm in that. Because I think it's important that the community feels, you know, and knows exactly what's happening within the community, and maybe is refreshed with a message specific to the community. I think there's no harm in that. But to invest collectively in that is to basically sideline yourself, is to marginalize yourself. And that, I feel, after a while, even the younger generation will disconnect from and detach themselves from. Because ultimately, it's natural that people want to be part of the larger group, of the bigger group. And we do have a big message to embark on or to impart
it's
on.
It's a contribution to the society.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's part of a religious duty, as well as a civic duty and a logical, rational kind of approach. In terms of the point that you raised, that you know, even my children, whom are far more engaged with the media and the community than I am, but will still maybe be perceived as yes. though they are sort of on the margins, on the sides. I don't think that is something that will concern them much, simply because we are now defined not only by what is written about us, because before it was what was in the papers.
Yes.
If it's not in the papers, not in the news screen, no one knows about it. Mm. Now we have a world of media that is far greater than that. Yes. The other day I was reading a report where it says that in Britain, the 16 to 27-year-olds, more than 67% of them engage with alternative media, yes. either with the internet, with social media, social and various other. Yes. They don't use the same mechanisms or the same tools of media that, for instance, I used, or my father.
What does it mean exactly for the Muslim presence?
It means that... Various versions of the same incident will emerge. What we used to have 10, 15, 20 years ago, more so 50 years ago, is that what's written in the image, the perspective that is relayed on the BBC is the only image available to people. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have hundreds of perspectives of the very same image, and people will come to realize what is real. My 13-year-old son, for instance, he heard about an incident on a football pitch. He follows football. He saw an incident on TV. He went, he Googled, he came back and he said, there are so many stories yes. about the very same incident. Yes. So the next generation, and definitely the generation after that, they will have a far greater access to the various perspectives of the same incident. And therefore, I doubt that there will be this kind of collective agreement, unanimity, that Muslims are on the peripheries, are on the sidelines. Mm. And plus, it's a matter of narrative and it's a matter of action. The narrative that now is being developed by those younger generation is a far more mature narrative, and it's one that's resonating with the wider public. That's very important. Mm. Secondly, the practices within the community, I think, are developing, they're becoming more and more positive. Yeah. Every single day, virtually, every single day, I am getting news of more and more mosques that are opening up to their communities, opening up to their women congregation who are coming on board and the such.
So the point is quite important here, is really to be part of the common narrative, and it means to be
it's
in the
vital.
Mainstream. This is
vital. Absolutely vital.
The second thing is what you are saying, is that they are much more, it's the diversity of viewpoints that they can get from the alternative media.
Absolutely.
Now, do we have, and this is a question, do we have to wait for this to happen, or the advice for the new generations now, because it's we are living very critical times. It's quite difficult these days just to face the reality of this media coverage, and at the same time to be a British or to be a European and to try to find one's place in the society, the sense of belonging to this society, where day in, day out, we just listen to the opposite, and the far right parties and the populists are here, even in the States, are just saying exactly the same. Islam is a problem. Muslims are a new problem. What could be within the media the right strategy to try to change this, to be much more committed? Because as you said, and this is something which is very important, is that very often the Muslims are not aware of the importance of communication and the media coverage. Yeah. So what could be done?
Well, first of all, you have to be at the heart of things. And that's why I insist on, whilst community media is important, but the mainstream media is vital and crucial. Mm-hmm. Once you're at the heart of things, the rhetoric is dispelled. Because
what does it mean exactly?
Well, it means that when, for instance, people read about how Muslim women are subjugated, weak, they are repressed, they have no voice, but then go and meet any of our sisters that you and I meet on a daily basis, that rhetoric will all disappear simply because they have the real version. Mm. So we have to be at the heart of it. We have to be at the heart of every single part of it. Mm. Not only in terms of politics, not only in terms of faith matters, but of everything. I absolutely love the fact that we have a world champion boxer who is a Muslim. I absolutely love the fact that we have scores of premiership footballers who are Muslims.
Is it not the problem that every time we are in the media, it's either football or sports?
I agree with you. I mean, the fact is that one problem is that we often have these two, I wouldn't say extremes, but two sides of the coin. We have either the extremists who are beyond reproach, all we have, the artists and the singers and the footballers, as though nothing is in the middle. No academics, no writers, no, you know, social carers, no teachers, no head teachers, scientists and the such. But I think this is part of the issue of time. This is part of the issue of time. And part of it is we have to speed the cycle, and part of it we have to leave time to take its own toll. The issue is that what I'm relying on in terms of the kind of change of perception of Muslims and Islam and Islamic affairs and the such may be pushed to happen quicker or at a quicker rate by events outside the UK, particularly, for instance, in the Arab world or the Muslim world. Those changes, those kinds of narratives that are now emerging from those new lands, new realities, they may be a larger catalyst towards, you know, for instance, a few years ago, no one would ever dream in Spain or in America to emulate anything Arabic. Anything. But now we have people holding forts in the center of Madrid saying, this is our Tahrir Square. In America, the occupation of Wall Street, which is ongoing, they are saying, this is our Tahrir Square, this is our Cairo. All of a sudden, you know, what's happening
something
in the Arab
positive
world,
was coming
all
from
of
there,
a sudden it's being emulated by... So now these new narratives are coming together, and they're formulating a new vision. The main thing that I believe, and this is something that now the media is discussing, and there are several seminars happening on this particular issue, how the narratives that are created by the new Arab generations have totally dismissed and dispelled and sidelined the narrative of Al-Qaeda, which we were told for so long is the dominant narrative when we're talking about Islam and Muslims. All of a sudden, peaceful change can happen. All of a sudden, we can do things without having to confront violently and the such.
Thank you so much for that. I think that during this discussion, first, there is something that you are saying which is important. We are talking about the essence and the substance is what is in the media. Yes, we are talking a lot about Islam. Now the substance and the narrative should change. And for that, to be in the mainstream, to be able to talk, to be vocal, to be visible in the mainstream, not only in Islamic, on Islamic affairs, but on anything which has to do with society, not only in sports and cultures, but on education, on economy, on politics. These are the places and the fields where the Muslims should be, and it's a question of time. And something that you added at the end, which is important, it's a two-way process. It's not only going to happen within Britain, it's also connected with what is happening in the Muslim majority countries and the Arab world today, and this could be a virtuous circle, changing the mentalities and the perceptions. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Anas Etikriti. Thank you so much for your insight, your input, and your experience. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.